Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, we drove down the road today, got to our new destination, and I wanted to come to you. It's late at night, but I wanted to come to you with a teaching. I think this one will edify you. It's called God Ordained Mankind to Labor. God Ordained Mankind to Labor. So the reason I'm teaching about this is as we travel and do ministry and have people reach out to us from all over the world, we see a lot of men, some women too, who go out and beg for money and they don't work. We call them beggars. Some people call them homeless. Most of them are choosing this lifestyle. We stop and talk to them, witness to the gospel, fill a need, offer them help to get off the street, and none of them want to get off the street. But that's a whole other story. You can read my homeless articles about that. And we're also contacted by men, some women sometimes, who live in houses and they don't work. Their parents work, their wives work, they're mooching off a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. And so I thought a teaching on God's ordained working for mankind would be helpful. I think this will be helpful to all of us. Now, what I think is going to be apparent is most people, I think even myself for a while before I studied this, have the wrong idea that I think it was ingrained in people by false churchianity and maybe some false teaching that mankind was created by God in the garden and the garden was perfect and man just had to sit around and do nothing and he just ate of all the good stuff and he sat around and he did absolutely nothing. But that's absolutely not true, and I'm going to prove it to you. What's the title of my teaching? God Ordained Mankind to Labor. Let's go right to it, okay? All right, so in the garden, well, let me look back here for a second. Do I have a scripture verse I want to share first? I'm looking at a note I made here. Yeah, the fact is, I guess what I want to talk about, make sure I drive home, is that we were made to work. All right? We're going to realize that mankind working honors God, and to not work dishonors him in sin and rebellion. So that was the note I had written down there. So let's go back in the garden before sin entered the world. Okay? God created man and ordained him. Ordained means put into action, like making a law, basically commanded for man to work. Now, the work that the Lord gave man was going to be a blessing because the garden was perfect, no sin. And I would say the work was going to be easier, less burdensome, and it would bear pretty much perfect fruit in the garden, right? That would make sense. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. All right, there's our key words. To dress it and keep it. That word dress in the Hebrew, abad, it's to work and to labor. See there? Adam was made to work, not just sit around and do nothing and eat the fruit that all took care of itself. Apparently, he had to go pick his fruit, tend it, and also keep. That word keep, it means observed, to guard, to watch over. So I think this is kind of cool. Ready? So the first professions were Adam was a gardener and a security guard. How about that? Adam was a gardener and a security guard. Now, let's talk about Eve. Not only man labors, what was Eve made for? A helpmeet, right? She was made as a helpmeet. Helper, Azar. It means one who helps. So Adam was put in the garden to be a gardener, tender, and protector, oversee it. Eve was put in the garden to help him. Man and woman were created to work, to labor, even before the fall. Yeah, when I first read that and learned that a while back, or quite a while ago, that kind of amazed me because I always had the mindset, oh, man was made to sit around and do nothing. That's not true. Labor honors God. It's ordained of God. If you hear music, I'm walking by some speakers at a store here. I'm walking around outside. It's a beautiful night tonight. getting some exercise, walking, doing my teaching. So we have Adam and Eve in the garden. They're working, laboring. God ordained it to be so. And then sin comes in, and now the work would be harder. Why is the work going to be harder? Well, we're going to read, the earth is now cursed. It's going to have weeds and thorns because of the sin of mankind. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And unto Adam, God said, or he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of their wife. Remember, she gave him the fruit and he took it. They were both in sin. And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat it all the days of thy life. The thorns, also the thistles, shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face, that would be labor, hard. He's going to have to work hard now. Shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So you see what we're talking about here. Adam had a pretty nice job taking care of a perfect garden, tending it, and watching over it. Eve was there to help him. It was going to be perfect fruit, no weeds, no nothing. They sin. Now God puts them out of the garden and says, now you're going to toil. Now you're going to labor. Now it's going to be hard. So we've already ascertained that God ordained labor for man and woman before the fall. Now God ordains harder labor after the fall. In fact, he tells Eve, you're going to travail in childbirth. Yep. So things become harder for man because of our rebellion and disobedience. Hey, do you see faith and works going on here? If you believed in the Father and you obeyed the Father, that's a perfect work right there, right? Faith and works together. They believed. I obviously walked with God. They didn't obey him. And God's not unconditional, is he? Nope. They broke his condition. Now they're going to suffer. So God has ordained we labor. And the Bible says, this is awesome, that we will reap from it. So it's a good thing. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Well, can you think of a saying right there that would fit this perfectly? Ready? You reap what you sow, right? So man works, he labors, and then God blesses it. God had the Israelites giving a tenth off the top because he was prospering them. And so isn't that beautiful? We labor and then God prospers us and we are able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And it's a gift from God. So God wants us still to labor even though we sinned, and he gives us the gift. So it should be a blessing, right? Absolutely. Now, Jesus, our master, king, Messiah, creator, he was a carpenter. He labored. Yeah, because he took on the fashion of a man. So why would he not labor also, not sit around, come as some rich king and not do anything? Nope, he labored. Mark 6, 3, it says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? So he was known. Joseph was a carpenter. Oftentimes a son would take on his father's trade and be trained by him. So Jesus was a carpenter. He labored. I think that's awesome. And I love, when I was a woodworker, I loved working with wood. And that's pretty cool to think that my master was a woodworker. And I also loved making things out of wood. How about another great example for us? Apostle Paul, working, a working man. Acts 18:3. And because he was of the same craft and he abode with them, and wrought by their occupation, they were tent makers. I think that also means leather workers. Paul labored as a tent maker, leather worker. Paul didn't sit around and have everybody, he wasn't a burden to everybody to support him so he could drive a nice chariot and live in a really nice house. No, Paul labored, even as an apostle called of Jesus Christ. I think that's awesome example for us. Now, this next verse I'm gonna share, I think it's important to see that those who who claim God, but they don't labor or work. Yeah, this is a problem, especially those who claim God. Ready? 2 Thessalonians 3:10-13. For even as when we were with you, Paul says, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. See that? Work and eat bread. That's you reap what you sow. That should be a blessing. God, it's a gift. You work, you buy it, you get food, you eat. There's a blessing from God, as Ecclesiastes say. But ye, brethren, be not weary in doing well. So Paul warns these men, hey, you're not working. You're supposed to be working. You're supposed to be laboring, right? So we see all the way from creation, and we're going to see some verses from the Old Testament. We see Jesus work. We see Paul work. What this is telling us, that work in the New Testament was still vital. This is Paul's exhortation of 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You see how important work and labor is? If you're a man and you don't take care of your family, you're like an unbeliever. Yeah. You know, it's amazing how God's word and theology always elevates these things that are sinful. Like a proud look, it's an abomination. Like not working, you're like an unbeliever. And churchianity and people of unbiblical faith, they demean all these things and go, oh, it's not that big a deal. But God's word says it is absolutely a big deal. James talks about that if we, it's sin if we say we're going to go do this and we're going to go do that and we don't wait and say, oh, if the Lord wills. It's like we're taking our life into our own hands. That's evil. Go read James chapter 4. The Bible says that's evil to take on your own life and not say, well, if the Lord wills. Yeah, that's witchcraft and idolatry. That's making yourself as God, thinking you're in control. So these small things that people say are small are not small things at all. Paul says right there, you don't take care of your family and work, you're worse than an infidel. How about this one? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands. Work as we commanded you. So there's proof that it was commanded in the Old Testament that people work all the way from creation. Paul's backing it up, saying he's commanding that you work. So we're just backing this up, scripture upon scripture, layer upon layer, proving this all out. Now, in the New Testament, if you were lazy, you got shunned. This is showing how serious this is. If you were lazy and you didn't work, you got shunned. Your brothers and sisters didn't associate with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yeah, note him and have no company. That doesn't mean you sing with him, pray with him, have dinner with him, hang out with him. It says have no company with him. This is important stuff here, because God ordained man to labor. This is very important. The ordained ways of God need to be upheld. And that's what Paul is doing here. And so the other thing I guess I should note here is it's not only important that we work for mammon, but we are also supposed to work in our ways, our effort for the Lord, because that's part of our salvation, faith and works, right? James 2:20. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So we're to be laboring for the Lord all the time, both to make mammon and provide for ourselves and our family, and to be laboring for the kingdom of God in spiritual things. We'll get back to some verses on that in just a little bit. So now let's go back to the Old Testament. If a man doesn't work or labor, what does the Old Testament say? So we've gone from creation. Now we went all the way through the New Testament. I'm going to take you to the last days, but then let's look at right here in the Old Testament in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. That fat just means you'll have what you need. Isn't that interesting? The sluggard. Bible doesn't talk good about being a sluggard. I warn these men that are beggars, and women too, if they're able to work, that being lazy, not working, is a sin. This is serious stuff. This is no small matter. Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Yeah, we see that all the time. I'll see men that are beggars say, I got to get to Arizona. They're looking for money. And I'm like, do you get a job? Oh, no, I haven't done that. So they want to reap a reward when they haven't even labored. And then I hear this all the time too, this is mostly from men, whether it be young men, middle-aged men. They all say, well, we want to do what you do, travel full-time and do ministry. And I go, well, have you labored? And they're like, well, either I spent all my money and wasted it, or a lot of them have not labored as they should be laboring. And they say, well, how do you do what you do? And I said, I'm 60 years old. I labored for 40 years of my life and saved up and bought and sold houses and did many things. And God blessed the work of my hands. Thank you, Lord, for that. And it funds us, provides for us. I'm not a burden to anyone. And I work now full-time in ministry, not laboring for mammon, but I'll get to that in a minute. So I always tell them, you got to labor. If you're faithful a little, God might give you more. But if you're not faithful, God's not going to give it to you at all. Something to consider there. To not work and to have idleness and being lazy is not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. It's not good for women, right? We said that Eve was a helpmate. Women are to be, a wife is to be a helpmate, like Sister Amen is to me. I couldn't do many of the things I do without Sister Amen. Proverbs 31:27. Oh, here we go. The Proverbs 31 woman. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I love that. She eats not the bread of idleness. I love the way the Bible puts that, because we all know about eating. We all know about bread. She ain't sitting around eating the bread of idleness. I really like that verse a lot. And then how about man? Well, let's talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, they had more sin than just homosexuality. I learned this many years ago, and I was like, whoa, I thought it was just they were all gay, homosexual, sodomites. That's why God burned them. Oh, no. No, no. Not true at all. Ezekiel 16:49, he didn't even mention the main sin that everybody thinks Sodom was destroyed for. And it was. There was homosexuality there. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Idleness, lazy, sitting around doing nothing. And I always tell people, America's Sodom too. Why? Well, America is now full of homosexuality. America's full of plenty. America's full of idleness. Everybody's out running around entertaining, hobbies, sports. America's Sodom too. And if God doesn't judge America, he will. He's going to judge the world. He would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So look at there. Idleness in Sodom, and God rains fire down. God wants mankind to be working and to be laboring. How about if we go to the back of the book, the last days? We've covered creation, we've covered Proverbs, we've covered the New Testament and the epistles. How about the end of the book? Even in Revelation, works matter. Now, you might say, well, these are spiritual works. Yeah, but you know what? Obeying God is a spiritual work, and obeying God means what? Working. We've already determined and proven that God wants us to labor. So that spiritual work is us laboring for both mammon to take care of ourselves as well, right? Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his works shall be. So your works are backing up, justifying your faith. And part of your works is, hey, God told me I need to labor and work and not be idle, not be a sluggard, not be a burden to others. And there's three or four other verses in Revelation that talk about our works. Okay? Very, very important. So when we study all of Scripture, we put it all together, we see that from creation to Noah. Let's talk about Noah real quick. We didn't bring up Noah. God sees this righteous man, and God says, I'm going to spare you. And what does God do? The God just snaps his fingers and builds an ark for him, and it's all done. No. He has Noah labor. He has Noah labor with his hands to build an ark. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And I always tell people that believe in faith alone, grace alone, no works for any part of their salvation, I always ask them, would Noah have survived or drowned if he didn't work and build the ark as part of his faith? And they always say, oh, well, yeah, I guess he would have drowned. There's your faith and your works right there. He's not saved by his works, but his works back up his saving faith. So, from creation of man to Noah, through the Proverbs, the Old Testament, through the epistles, all the way through the New Testament, what have we seen? Working is required by man, for mankind, by his creator, God. It always was, even before the fall and even before sin. Now, I started talking about this a little bit before. I'll talk about it again right here. So working for mammon is what we're mainly talking about, supporting yourself so you have food and clothing and housing. But it can also be working full-time in the ministry like I do and other people do. And I know too many that work full-time in the ministry and they're a burden to everyone, begging for money and wasting money on things they don't need to do ministry. Whereas if God calls you to ministry, he's going to prepare you for it. You should be laboring yourself and you should be ready and you should be living frugal and you should not be a burden. That's kind of another whole teaching. So this working can be working for mammon, and it can also be working full-time in the ministry. And I'm blessed to be able to do that with Sister Amen. And God has provided, even though we worked hard and labored with our hands and bought and sold properties, and we both labored in the business world for a long time to get to do what we do today, I think we were faithful with little, and God gave us more. As I finish this up, we have to use the words of our Savior. He gives us a really good perspective here on what matters most, speaking about laboring. John 6:27, as the car goes by. John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So there you go. We should be laboring most for what? Laboring most for the kingdom of God. That is the most important thing we should be laboring for. Jesus taught that all over. He still labored. Paul labored. Peter labored. Peter was a fisherman, right? They labored. So it doesn't matter whether we're working for mammon or we're working for the Lord in the ministry or spiritual things. What should we do? We should be rejoicing. We should be rejoicing. As Ecclesiastes said, it's a gift of God to have the fruits of your labor. And Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So we should be working for the Lord, witnessing, studying, proclaiming, preaching, doing everything he's commanded us to do. And also, if you're of the working age, which means if you're not able to retire, you need to be laboring, you need to be working, you need to have a job or a business or something that earns your living so you're not a burden to others and you're a good witness. Peter says, be blameless. You're going to be blameless if you're taking care of yourself. How many times have we heard about these shyster preachers that take everyone's money or men that are sluggards and don't work? They're a terrible witness unto the things of God, and they need to be walking blameless for our Savior, who was blameless for us. He went to the stake. He became sin for us who knew no sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So our laboring and our working should be seen not as a burden, but it's a blessing to us. We should rejoice for it as God, our Creator, Christ the Creator, gave it to us from the beginning, before the fall. It's part of his ordained ways, and it is our duty. Last scripture verse for you, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. I love this verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, which I've already proven to you is for man to work and woman to work. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hey, I hope this has blessed you to see that working as a man or a woman and laboring for the kingdom of God and laboring for your mammon to take care of yourself, no matter what you do, you're a keeper at home, you're a man that works as a janitor, you run a business, whatever you do, a baker, plumber, electrician, whatever you do, it should be done unto the Lord, as Colossians 3 said, and do it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matthew 22, loving God, that's the great commandment. I hope that this teaching has really brought it through to you. When we see people that don't work and they should be working, and they especially, everyone we should tell this to, but especially those who claim God, claim faith in God and Christ, they need to be told, you know, you're trampling the blood of Jesus. Now, if they're not believers and they don't know, we're still going to tell them and warn them. But it's a weightier matter if you claim Jesus and you're not even doing what the word tells you to do. Yeah, that's called a hypocrite. Yeah, and God hates religious hypocrisy. You're riding on the back of Jesus, as I just preached the other day, telling all these men come out of a men's conference. You're all riding on the back of Jesus for his holiness and his righteousness and his perfection. And we all need to do that. I get it. None of us are perfect and we all have fallen short. But guess what? The Bible says, if you continue in your sin, there's no sacrifice for your sin. Hebrews 10, 26, 27, but a fiery judgment that's going to devour the adversaries of God. And not working, not laboring, would be considered sin before a holy God. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope that blessed you. I kind of really enjoyed that one. It's going to help me as I deal with these homeless people, beggars. We don't call them homeless. Most of them want to be where they are. We've offered hundreds of them help, and nobody takes us up on it. Here in America, the beggars are just that, professional beggars looking to support their drugs, alcohol, porn, whatever. And we don't give them cash to do that. We give them the word of God. We give them the gospel. We give them love. We will meet some simple needs of theirs. And then we offer them a hand up to get out of the gutter. And then from there, it's their decision. Just had that with two men today. Two men today I had great witnessing with that were beggars. And they actually, a couple of them wanted to come with me. And I talked about the Lord, and they wanted to come with me. They didn't want to come with me and the Lord, if you know what I'm saying. That's another whole story. Thanks for listening. I hope you're laboring for the kingdom of God. If you're of work age and workability, I hope that you're laboring for your own bread wherever God has put you to be a good witness. Go to don'tperish.com. Check out all of our resources, adding to it every single day. Working our way north, we got a event coming up, a big one this weekend, but witnessing every day, saying, Lord, put us where we need to be. And today, last thing, I said, I don't know where we're going. And last minute I said, we're going here. It seems right. And we pulled in. Sister Amin went into the Walmart to get us some supplies. And she met a man and a woman, I should say a 15-year-old man, young man, and a woman. And she said this young man was full of zeal and he was excited. And they had a long talk. She was talking mostly to the woman, but the young man was talking. And we're looking forward to maybe him contacting me. And she was really, really excited because she met this young man with this great zeal for the things of God. And it was perfect timing. God put us right where we needed to be. Thank you, Father. And thank you to all you saints and seekers that are listening. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. I'm going to go pack it in for the night. Tomorrow is a new day if the Lord wills and we get it. We love you all. Excuse me. Repent and obey the gospel. May God be praised.